Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we have spoilers, major spoilers for Spider-Man No Way Home. Let's go.
I didn't hit the button.
Is it too late?
This is going to be a long intro, boys.
What grace?
Yeah.
Who is she?
I'm sorry.
She's Miss America.
I was just looking at the monitor. I'm sorry if that just blew your ears out. I hit the C sharp with a little extra gusto.
Ooh, me gusto.
Yeah,
that's Spanish, Italian, and American.
Okay.
Listen, y'all, we're jumping in, and we're gonna say it once: a big, fat, emphatic spoiler warning for Spider-Man: No Way Home. As of this recording, the film has been out for 2 days.
Yes, and if you haven't watched it, we're warning you. We are going to spoil it like spoils have not been spoiled.
Yeah, spoiled.
Yeah, so with a T. So yeah, we're going to talk about it and its relation to certain other Marvel/Disney properties.
Spoilers for up to Hawkeye episode 5.
At the time you're listening to this, Hawkeye 6 will have been out, but we're recording on like the 20th of December.
Yeah, so 3 more days until next and final episode of Hawkeye season 1. There are some things though that we will reference that will cross across both of those properties. Also probable spoilers for the MCU proper.
On a non-Marvel cinematic universe related topic, we're going handheld for this so that I can sit back, and we're going one camera, kind of like the last one. So I'm sorry if you hear this. I'm just learning how to use a microphone. So yeah, thanks for tuning in. This is episode 94. Can you believe we're at 94?
Yeah.
Actually, this is probably, we need to go through and
actually see what's...
fix the numbering like you were talking about. This may be number 98.
We need to figure that out.
We need to figure it out because 100 is going to be a big one. So. Yeah.
My OCD kicks in, and probably I imagine for some of our listeners, the fact that our, like, if you go into the podcast app and click on episode 91, it probably says episode 92, episode 91.
Because we had some mini-sodes that for some reason I didn't number, and then some mini-sodes that I did number because I don't know how to continuity.
So we got to figure that out because we're going to do something special for episode 100. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this, hopefully you listened to our Christmas special that we had last week. Lots of fun. We have a trio of visitors front and center. Three handsome lads. They're going to be with us because they also saw Spider-Man No Way Home.
So I've got a thought.
Yeah.
Before we get started.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it would be worth talking a little bit about Alex and Drew rate the new 52. Not the rate. Sorry, Alex and Drew rate the MCU.
Yes.
Just to talk about, because that might be where some of our thoughts come from. So we've realized that you can rhyme Drew with anything.
Yeah.
Except for anything.
Yeah. But oddly enough, you can rhyme it with the word two, T-O-O, yes, which same. Makes it available for essentially anything we want to rhyme it with.
So a couple weeks back, we started by Alex put in some time with a Google Sheet and created this document where we are ranking, or like we are going to watch all the movies and Disney Plus properties.
Any MCU
and
property.
Perhaps Netflix even now.
Spoilers. Bum, bum, bum.
We already warned you. So we've got this sheet that like breaks down the story, the plot, the character development, continuity, world building, music, sound design, cinematography, editing, coloring.
Gut feeling.
Gut feeling, representation.
General effect.
There's also, emotion, drama, comedy,
action.
And I don't know. So we are like watching some of these movies more critically than we might have the first time around.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks ago, we watched Iron Man. The first one from 2008 that launched the dynasty.
MCU.
So we watched that. And then we turned around and watched Hawk. Mm-hmm. We watched Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk.
And like 2-3 days later, we watched No Way Home. So we're watching them in order. But because No Way Home came out, we went ahead and gave ourselves a ranking for that. Kind of thinking, you know, Hulk, for better or worse, is on the lower end. So mm-hmm. that kind of calibrates us for the bottom end of the spectrum. And we had a feeling that we were right about, that No Way Home was going to be on the top side to kind of calibrate that. So if that interests you, sorry, I'm talking so much. I've got a lot of spit. If that interests you, join our Discord, link down in the doobly-doo, and you can maybe participate in that.
Yeah, I actually put the Google Sheet for Alex and Drew Rank the MCU available on Discord. If you click on it, I made it to where it will force you, before you view it, to make your own copy so you will not mess up our scores. And we are going to do a collective MCU, or sorry, two-man fan score as well. So at the end of this thing, which will probably be never, but I think we decided that we're going to do an episode after every phase at least to give an update like where we're at and what it's looking like. But we're going to share our individual results and then average together the two-man results, and that'll be just our definitive, this is our ranking of the MCU. It's going to be really cool. The system's not perfect.
I feel like it's really good, though. Like, we did pretty well. Like, we might come up with something that in 10 movies we're like, you know, we should really have this in there. Like, and I'm already starting to question the power of
music.
The music, because there's only two things in the sound category. Sound design and then film score versus like six in the visual side. So like, if you're like, man, I didn't like the colors of this, and you give something a 5, it doesn't hurt as much as you're like, man, this music didn't really hit me, and you give the music a 5, because that automatically tanks it. Because, I mean, the only thing that didn't score pretty high on No Way Home, I'm just going to jump to it since we're talking about it real quick, was the music, because the music was great. The music was effective, but it wasn't, I didn't walk away from it like remembering it, thinking about how awesome it was, like that Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack.
Right.
So I didn't rank the music as high, and that it really means that for something to end up in the high 90s or 100th percentile, you've got to be firing on all cylinders. So it you might look at some of these and think, man, these guys are jerks, but it's just an objective way to do it.
I mean, it's also really hard to compare some of these films, because it's not like they're all the exact same formula. I mean, they definitely have a formula that they stick to varying degrees, but the fact that we have to rank Winter Soldier against Guardians of the Galaxy, which is like ranking a spy film action noir piece versus a space buddy cop action adventure space opera, they're different. So the only thing we could think to do was to combine just different elements of the creation of it and break it down as much as we can and throw in just our gut reaction, just without thinking about it too hard. How much do you actually like the film? And we're ranking it. We did a pre-ranking as well.
Yeah, that was fun too. Yeah. Just doing the pre-ranking, and I'm curious to see how much it changes.
Right, I think it will a lot when it's all said and done. It's also possible that we do make iterations to this as far as like nerfing the power of the music score. Sounds like something we should put thought into and then
Whenever we were talking about the thing, I was like, man, do we need to come up with more things for the music category? Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't think of anything. There's the music and the sound design.
Yeah, like, it's either add more categories or give less points value to.
So I don't know. Or we just know that the music's got to be awesome for a score to get high. You know, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, so we'll figure it out, but it's up there. It's ready to go. You can go and add your own numbers. You rank everything out of 10, regardless of how many points it's actually worth in the total. I've already set up all the macros and stuff to where if you rank it out of 10, it'll do the math for you, and it'll work out. It took me like 3 hours to make this. I feel like a complete nerd.
Well, it looks good.
Yeah.
And you don't have to think about it at all. Yeah, so
just rank every category out of 10.
You done good, kid.
Thanks, Pa.
I wonder, do you suppose that a good way for us to talk about before we even start is to say what our gut rankings were as we walked out?
Sure. What did I?
I'll tell you what I gave it.
Oh, I know what I gave it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just gonna say I gave it a 10.
I also gave it a 10 out of 10 as far as just a gut reaction.
I mean, there could be very subtle, like my final thing didn't come out to
right. quite it did not that get out, a 100.
But I walked out of it and I was just like, man, that was good. Do you remember what you thought?
Yeah, I thought 10. Sweet. I mean, just compared to all other yeah. Marvel yeah. movies.
Sure. Yeah, in the context of the MCU, it's, you know, and I've already seen some people that don't agree with this, but it's firing on all cylinders. Like, it's the amount of just fan service and callbacks and references and the story, the script. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of it in a minute, but it is, as it stands, the highest fan-ranked MCU film on Rotten Tomatoes and tied, I believe, with Endgame at a 94%. The fan score is a 99%, which is wild. So,
Have you ever done a fan rating on – where does it come from? Do you just pick a percentage out of the blue, or is it like partitions like ours?
Okay. Partitions, so you can slide it up and it does that. I get on there and Rotten Tomatoes and rank stuff as well. So there's like 10,000-plus fan reviews and like 2,000 or 3,000 critic reviews or something like that. Or maybe not that many. Maybe it's hundreds of critic reviews. But y'all, it was really good.
So we all saw it at the same time, same yep. theater. I have asked my wife this. I want to ask you, have you guys ever been in a theater that had that much crowd response to it for any movie?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't is what I'm going to say. So
Endgame
okay.
Was the exact same, and maybe in some moments even more. Okay. People did mess themselves when Steve picked up that hammer.
Yeah. I mean, I just felt like I was there with them for more of them on this one.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I heard a guy jump to something at the end. We'll talk about it in a second, but I heard him go, "Oh no!" during a very pivotal moment right at the very end, and I had thought it like a split second before him. This was yeah. something with Green Goblin. I'll just say that mm-hmm. everybody knows that he was going to be in there anyway. And I was just like, and people kind of laughed, but it was just there was laughter, there was like applause, like all out cheering to where you could almost not hear what was going on the screen, and. I don't know that I've ever been in a movie like that before. It was cool though. Like yeah. I wasn't annoyed at it. Like I am at some where people are just kind of loud oddly, but no, this was,
if you go opening exciting. Night, like we did, it's all like the power fans, the ones that are just, they're digging for the references. They want to love it. They're there for that reason. And when you handle the film like Spider-Man No Way Home did, there's going to be just uncontrollable reactions from the group, but in the best way. They also know, it's amazing to me, like the etiquette is there. They know like how quickly to simmer down so you can continue listening again. It doesn't get like carried away or like, oh, I just missed 60 seconds of dialogue because people were cheering so loud. It's incredible. I don't even know where to start. I don't know if I want to like give a recap yeah. of the film.
If you're listening to this, you better have already watched it. So yeah. I say we don't. I think... If you're listening to this and you've already gone past our spoiler warnings, then you know what you're getting. We don't need to tell you what happened.
Yeah.
So
I think we can talk about like some favorite moments.
Yeah, that works. Yeah.
I will just say this movie, one of the things that I loved and like I caught on to it early and then like kind of held on to it just that I was going to kind of pay attention to this as it went on. The film is so self-aware in a variety of ways that it... I don't know, it kind of gets out of the way of itself, if that makes sense at all. Like, it just kind of is. Like, it's... I left a what would seem like a very serious review on Rotten Tomatoes. I can't even remember exactly what I says, but it said something to the effect of, like, sometimes art is handled in such a way that it's so good, it's so well thought out, and so well executed...
So good.
...that the art itself... The fact that it is art gets out of the way. Like you're having such a good time that you forget you're looking at a piece of art that people poured themselves into, and you're able to just sit there and be in the moment and be a part of it. And I think that Spider-Man No Way Home is an example of that art. Not just because the action was incredible and the color and the crossover events. I mean, we have freaking Daredevil, Matt Murdock, Charlie Cox in the MCU now, and just like they gave him 60 seconds of camera time, and he used all of it.
He is a really good lawyer.
He's a really good lawyer.
I was thinking about it. Well, no, I'll save that for later.
But then they, I'm not going to say spoiler alert again. They brought in the other Spider-Man from the other films.
I thought that, like, that was the thing. They waited what I feel is the perfect amount. The editing score on our sheet went through the roof for me because of that first Andrew Garfield moment. Like, it had been long enough that I was like, okay, we're not going to get him. And
let's talk about that moment. Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. The self-aware. So Ned gets the sling ring from Doctor Strange. Yeah. They're trying to fix the crack in the universe from the spell. You've seen the trailer. And they're just trying to get Spider-Man. So Ned's kind of finding out he's a little bit magical, or at least he can make the sling ring. So he's like doing the thing. And he's like, we just need to find Spider-Man. He's just hoping he can will this magic into existence. Mm-hmm. So he opens it up, and there's Spider-Man. And they're like, hey, Peter, come on. We know
People started cheering so soon.
Yeah. Like, we knew immediately it was a different Spider-Man that we
different
were
different eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he runs through, and the camera is set up in such a way that he's just centered. And he runs through this portal and comes in and waits a second and rips off his mask. And it's Andrew Garfield. Mm-hmm. So already your spine is vibrating with chills.
Yeah.
Okay. We got him. Andrew Garfield, by the way, I know you're listening. I appreciate you leaning into just swearing up and down he wasn't in this film.
Yeah.
And he might still be doing it. He's that committed.
Somebody said he deserves an Oscar for that acting.
Yeah.
I agree.
But that moment, so he takes off his mask and he kind of like holds his arms out just a little bit and just kind of looks around, but it's framed in a way that he's looking at us sitting in the theater. And he's like, I know you knew. Yeah. But I leaned into it. I didn't break my NDA.
Yeah.
And I surprised you. And it was, I think it would have hit different if we had known he was in the film. But because for a year, he sat there and lied to us.
I wasn't even asked.
On TV that he was not in it and that the camera footage we had of him was a deepfake, which, speaking of, deepfake stuff is becoming more and more common. I had a friend that got hacked on the internet and they deepfaked their face and their voice and made it look like they had, I'm not going to get into the rabbit hole of this, but I was convinced for a second. I was like, did this person actually somehow crack the secret to Bitcoin? Because that sounds like them talking. It was ridiculous. I'll show you guys after the podcast. Excuse me. Anyway, there are just so many moments like that where it fits within the narrative of the story. It pulls everything together and we get these awesome crossovers in these moments. But at the same time, it's the creators of the film looking through that screen at the audience and going, ta-da, we did it. Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. Another one of my favorite, this is one of my favorite moments in the show. All three Spider-Men teaming up to fight all these villains from these different Spidey films. And they go out and they just start doing it and it's not working because they're like getting in each other's way. And they kind of establish an arc. So Tom Holland goes, I'm Spider-Man 1. He looks at Tobey Maguire and goes, you're Spider-Man 2. And he looks at Andrew Garfield and says, you're Spider-Man 3. Like, that's what I call that. But it was a very real ranking of what all the fans have said all along, right? Like, most people like Tom Holland the best, then Tobey Maguire, and then Andrew Garfield. And they just acknowledged it in the moment. Again, like, Andrew Garfield was like, yeah, okay, let's go. Like, he was just fine with it. But it was a 100% double meaning moment of just, they're okay. Like, they're just happy that they're in here being Spider-Man. Like, they're in this thing. They're in the film. All the stuff referencing Tobey Maguire's web fluid coming
out
of this.
You guys don't have this? Yeah. They're like, how does that work? And he's like, I don't think about how I breathe. I just breathe.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Lots, there's just so many good... They recreated the thing, the Spider-Man all pointing at each other.
Yeah. I wanted to say, one of my favorite parts was just... Because Toby said it like multiple times. He was talking to Andrew Garfield and he was like, you're amazing. You're amazing. And I turned to Holly because, and I think she's seen the movies like once. And I was like, Andrew Garfield's franchise is called The Amazing Spider-Man. She's like, yeah, I know.
Right.
Yeah. But I was just like, I just love that moment. Explaining
to Holly.
Well, I just wasn't sure how much she knew.
But I did the same thing to Katie. I'm like, I don't know if you're aware of this or not. I'm just going to tell you.
I loved that part though.
Yeah.
And
it's just like that. There's this little sprinkled, self-aware, but so tastefully done. They're like almost breaking the third wall, but not like they never quite look you in the eye.
Fourth wall.
The fourth wall, that's it. They break the third wall all the time. Almost breaking the fourth wall.
What's the third wall?
The ceiling?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm going to say break.
What's the first wall? for that matter. First, are we talking like first, second, third?
Fourth wall is the camera.
Yeah,
right.
Camera but I'm set. Like, which one's the first, second, and third?
Well, I think it's just the surround.
They're just saying the ones around.
Yeah, the ones around.
Okay.
Yeah, they come into the audience. So they never, anyway, say all that. They never quite look at you and go, you know, wink at the camera.
You know,
but they get dang close.
One of my favorite things was like just the body language of Toby when he stepped through the portal.
Yeah.
Like he's wearing like a London Fog jacket type thing. And he's just like, oh, hey. And I haven't seen Toby Maguire like in a long time. Yeah. So he looked older.
He's aged.
My wife started like purring as soon as Toby Maguire came out because she's always been like, Toby Maguire has always been her Spider-Man.
Katie has the hots for Andrew Garfield. Okay, so similar reaction.
You understand, yeah.
It was a good moment. Yeah, we had like kind of a wise aged Toby Maguire, Spider-Man 2, I guess I should call him.
And I love, they were like, gave us a little glimpse. It's kind of like that scene on Crisis on Infinite Earths for the Arrowverse when I got to see Tom Welling years after, and you can tell him and Lois are together. They've had a good life.
Right.
And things have happened. And he kind of says that. Like, he's talking to somebody, and they're like, hey, do you have someone? And you're just like, no, things work, you know?
Right.
Things get good. And I'm just like, I felt good about that. I was just like,
some closure.
Oh, Toby went off and had a good life. And
yeah,
it sounds
and he's
like
still Spider-Man.
Yeah. And Andrew Garfield, maybe not as much. He might have kind of a, he's kind of the Dark Knight Returns type of a thing. It sounds like after things happened in his life, he maybe made some unwise choices. That was an interesting, I don't know, like that didn't happen in his movies, right?
No, I mean, it,
I'm feeling like,
I mean, we ended
we got
on
to
some
see
dissonance and then they
the glimpse
parted ways.
So he kind of went, not maybe not dark side, but you know.
He still hasn't found his way yet.
Interesting to think that, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of moments with a lot of heart. Aunt May dies, and that's a killer moment. Like, as far as just like, that was the first one that got me tearing up a little bit. And then, right before, so you think that she dies, and then she gets up, and you think, okay, maybe she's fine. Mm-hmm. And she gets the moment that we've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. The with great power comes great responsibility. They let, I think it just speaks volume. They let a woman do that. I don't know. It just, in the moment, it felt, and I think Katie kind of agreed too, like, it felt absolutely different in a different context completely than it had before, and I was here for it. And then she dies, and we get to see for the first time like a truly like dark side of Tom Holland's Peter Parker. Like, he's always been this peppy, optimistic, just little kid trying to be an Avenger, and then in the second film he kind of realizes it's a lot harder than it seems, and now it's flat out gotten to him.
Like, in that exact moment afterwards when he's like calling, somebody get an ambulance.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the people are still coming in with guns pointed on him.
Yeah.
And stinking J. Jonah Jameson. Like, God, I have
he's
not
a conspiracy theorist.
I have
in
not
the MCU.
Been as angry at a person on a screen or in a book since Dolores Umbridge. Like, I was just like, God, you little snake.
Yeah.
And he's watching this whole thing, and
yeah, so far, no redeemable qualities for the MCU JJJ. And Spider-Man 1. Green Goblin comes into the Daily Bugle and like is choking out J. Jonah Jameson. It's like, where's Spider-Man? And he like covers for him. You know, he's like, oh, okay, he's a human being. Don't have that in MCU, J. Jonah Jameson. Interesting.
Well, he's
dynamics.
Covering for Peter Parker in
sure.
that moment.
Right.
But he doesn't know he's...
I guess that's true, yeah. It still is a depiction of him
not
just stepping on his employees.
Right, exactly.
Right.
I don't remember him feeling angry at J. Jonah Jameson as much in the Tobyverse.
Right.
Like, I don't feel like he went as far as just like completely irate, unswerving.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean,
enmity.
If they want to do that, like,
unswerving
I also think other
enmity.
MCU films are guilty of...
I like the fact
getting rid of their MCU villains.
Yeah.
What else? There's so much to talk about that we're not even saying. Oh, so the big fight at the end when we get
Twitter was right.
Spider-Man versus the Green Goblin.
Oh, no, I was thinking that screen grab that everybody took from the trailer.
Oh.
When everybody's charging and somebody has like they've drawn like, look, there's this gap there for Andrew. There's a gap here for Toby.
Right.
And that moment came and I just... said to the screen, I was like, Twitter was right. Because like that's exactly what happened. They just Photoshopped Andrew and Toby out of that exact frame.
They didn't do that great of a job because if you look really close, even without it, you see the reptile get punched in the bottom. Yeah, like his head just too, suddenly jerks to the side. It's like, did he just like get a cramp while jumping through? But the big final fight, so Peter Parker just had his aunt killed by the Green Goblin. That's who killed her. So he's just hot red fury mad, and he's fighting the Green Goblin on this giant shield, this Captain America shield that was added to...
From the Hawkeye quote from the night before, whenever... Yelena.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm coming to New York City. What do I got to see? Well, I've got to go see the new Statue of Liberty.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was just like, and then somebody made a comment about that. And we saw that Rogers thing at the very beginning. Yep. So sorry, I'm totally interrupting your moment.
That's fine.
But I was just like, there, we did it again. Sorry. I forgot to,
take out our break mute audio.
A channel.
That's why we're not taking a break.
So, but yeah, like I loved the coordination it took for Hawkeye's Kingpin reveal. Sorry. Happen. And then the next day we get Charlie Cox and the reality of the Rogers musical swag out there in that first scene from Spider-Man, and then we get the only spoken of adjustments to the Statue of Liberty, and you get to see it with the giant shield up there still
right
in process.
So when they're first like bringing in all the other villains, the shield falls off the new Statue of Liberty. It's just kind of at the bottom of the island, Staten Island. Is that where it's at?
Ellis Island.
Ellis Island, that's right. And they're fighting on top of this giant shield. And you can tell, hats off to whoever did the choreography for this fight, they made it so, at least it was to me, it was so obvious that Peter Parker, Tom Holland, was not pulling his punch, and he was trying to kill Green Goblin. He went for it once, and the Green Goblin just dodged because his fist went and put this massive dent in all that metal. Like, it would have killed him for sure, and he just didn't hit him. And he almost kills him. Like, I also love that they depicted just how good and how strong Tom Holland Peter Parker is, because in that fight, Green Goblin doesn't even land a blow. Like, it is a straight-up butt-whooping. And they just let him be definitively stronger and just, like, lean into this rage. Like, he was going to kill him. He had the ability to. And at the very last second, Spider-Man number 2, Tobey Maguire, comes in and stops him from killing, because he knows from his movies, they're pulling in more continuity, that it's not going to make him feel better, because he, quote-unquote, killed the guy who killed his Uncle Ben. Mm-hmm. And just this moment where Tom Holland's coming to his senses, the Green Goblin, you saw it coming.
That's whenever the dude said, no.
Yeah.
Yeah,
everybody felt the dissonance just turning, like, right there. Green Goblin reaches up and stabs Tom Holland. They didn't Han Solo him.
Tobey Maguire,
sorry. Spider-Man 2. They didn't Han Solo him. He lives, but you think for a second maybe he's going to go.
So I had I was starting to feel something tickle in the back of my mind.
Your Peter tingle?
Yeah, my Peter tingle. In the last couple conversations he was having with Aunt May, he didn't say word for word what Tobey Maguire said. You know, I missed the part where that was my problem.
Right.
But he was essentially saying the same thing. He was like,
Aunt
May was like, this isn't you. We need to try to save people. And he was just like, why? That's not my job. Like, he basically says that. And as soon as he said that, and then she went into the power and strength responsibility, I was just like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's the Tobey. It's like
about to happen.
Tobey through a different lens.
Sure.
And I was just like, no, it's happening. And
Rodney Martinez's superpower has just kicked in. We are recording, and he just texted me. I don't know how you do it, man. so many great moments. I guess we should talk a little bit also, like, the logistics that it took to pull off getting Kingpin and Hawkeye, confirming that Vincent D'Onofrio is playing that character in the MCU, and then less than 24 hours later,
I wonder
if Charlie Cox.
If that's why we got two episodes.
I had
the
first
same
thought. They double drop on
the because they were like, we missed it by a week,
right?
So we'll just do two here.
Yep.
So that, because this has to come out the week of
the day
no
before. Super impressive. So I actually called it. I don't know how impressive it is, but after No or Far From Home, I was like, I've got to think that he's going to need an attorney And it's either going
to,
I even
it's
said,
it's going to need to be a good one.
Yeah. I said it's either going to be Charlie Cox's Daredevil or it's going to be whoever they tag to be She-Hulk because she's also an attorney. So I tended to think that because there's a history of Spider-Man Daredevil comics that it would be him.
On that topic.
Yeah.
It didn't happen now.
What?
Like Daredevil doesn't know anything about Peter Parker now.
Yes. Oh, so let's talk about this. So Drew and I mentioned that we ranked this film. We went ahead and did it because it was going to be fresh, and I'm sure those emotions, that gut reaction will play into it too. But as it stands, I think when we're done going through and watching everything, that this film will be sitting at the top.
I think so too.
Even because standing next to Endgame and Infinity
War. Just from
War.
That gut and that emotion and the editing and like the continuity, all that stuff, I had a ton of tens.
I had a lot of tens, a lot of nines.
Though, I mean, it might be different when I finally get to see Infinity War and Endgame after like in quick succession.
Right.
Watching all these and thinking about them so critically.
Yeah.
But so we'll I have a feeling those will be the top three. Yeah.
Yeah. But I will say that No Way Home is the first film since Infinity War that has ended, despite the heroes kind of winning, or at least they put everything, they put the pieces back in place, but ending with so much dissonance and everything out of place and all is wrong. So
he's by himself.
Yeah. They have somehow let the hero live, but taken literally everything away from him.
So he's...
He has no family. He has no friends. Nobody knows who he is. The Avengers don't know who he is.
Well, okay. This is something I was talking with Torrance about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They know Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man still helped save the world.
Sure.
They know Spider-Man exists. So maybe it's not like he's totally by himself. It's not like all of a sudden this little dude slinging webs has showed up and nobody knows what's going on. So there is that. But yeah, like...
But Doctor Strange doesn't know who he is.
Yeah.
Oh. The Doctor Strange moment when they come to the realization that if they go through with the spell as they originally thought and make it where nobody remembers him, that that's what will stop this world from breaking. Because the multiverse starts cracking open, right? Because he started messing with the spell and wanted some people to know he was Spider-Man and they just got out of hand. But the moment where Doctor Strange was like, he accidentally says, "And we love you." I mean, everyone that loves you. Like, I'm paraphrasing, but he like reveals that just even when they are kind of, you know, laughingly at the point of like they're finally on the first name basis.
Yeah,
the amount of love that even Doctor Strange feels for him, just because they appreciate who he is and what he's done and how he helped save the world. It was just another like, I need to stop tearing up so I can. Have clear eyes to finish this film. powerful moment. But this ends and there's just this heartbreaking moment between him and MJ. Like she tells him she loves him and she won't let him say it until he can come find her again. And there's a similar moment between Ned and it gets to the end and you think he's going to introduce himself again. And she says this very pointed thing.
He pulls the superhero thing that we saw Clark Kent do in Smallville countless times and decide, nope, it's better for you if you don't know who I am.
Yeah, and how they did it, though, like he notices she's still got a bandage on her head, and he just kind of asks her why she's working. She doesn't know who he is anymore. He's like, does it hurt? She's like, well, it did a lot, but now it's better. And it's a direct metaphor for it's better because it's gone, you know, and he's gone. And he has this letter of how he's going to reintroduce himself, and he puts it in his pocket.
He's like, hi, my name is Peter Parker, and... I'd like a coffee.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Peter Parker. Like,
right.
There were so many moments that were just funny, even though, God, they were heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. It ends with so much dissonance, and thank God that Amy Pascal, one of the producers of the film, who's like great friends with Kevin Feige and is one of the reasons we have Spider-Man in the MCU, has said that they are working on another trilogy with Tom Holland for this.
Because,
that number four is already in where they're working on
it
right
is
now.
Kind of neat.
Yeah.
Like as much as I hate all this, we never got Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. We never got him having to take pictures for the Daily Bugle.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But now we do. Like,
and we can get more.
He can still do Avengers level threat things if they call him in, but nobody knows him. He has to pay rent.
Yeah.
He has to do this. Like he doesn't, I don't know if he has access to, he made his new spider suit and it seemed pretty low tech.
Yeah.
You know, so we finally see the red and blue Spider-Man, and I'm just waiting for him to, in the next movie, go and meet J. Jonah Jameson
right
face to face as Peter Parker.
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat to me. I'm curious to see what threats we see him deal with. Are they going to be true like neighbor level, like local type right. things, or is he still going to regularly be pulled in as Avenger or what?
Yeah, we'll see. There's no Avengers film on the docket for at any point right now. So it's like not even like years in advance. There's no plan. I mean, I'm sure there are plans, but we don't know about them.
I was thinking about it. It's almost as if we're going back to phase one. The only difference is we're going to start introducing a bunch of new characters.
Right.
Except that we know the world now and we know its history. Whereas in 2008, the world's history was our world's history.
Yeah.
So kind of neat. Curious sure. to see where it goes.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how long they wait to undo this, right? So in theory, yeah. this is something they'll undo, or like this dissonance needs resolved, mm-hmm. whether it takes the very next film. I kind of hope that they don't fix everything in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Because that's like the next, depending if you count Morbius or not, which comes out next month.
Based on what we saw from the deal with...
I mean, the Vulture's in there.
Well, actually, do we know that that's a Vulture? Like, for real? Or is it just Michael Keaton and it's a coincidence?
I've heard that it's the Vulture.
Okay.
I don't know if that's confirmed or
not. And
that,
we did... I was going to say, we did see... Like, there was posters with Spider-Man on it
right.
in the Morbius yeah. trailer. So that's an MCU property, not like Venom was, a Sony property that happened to... borrow.
Well, Morbius is a Spider-Man villain.
So is that? I mean, but
so
it's
I think Sony is making but Morbius, but
they're like, let's lend it.
Yeah, I mean, Venom's in it now, or he was in the post-credit scene, a very extended one.
So I mean, a symbiote is in it,
sure.
not necessarily the Venom we know. Well, I mean,
he was in the post-credit scene in.
Well, I'm saying Eddie Brock, though.
Right.
We might get a different Eddie Brock.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. Speaking of Multiverse of Madness, the final post-credit scene, we'll even make credits in a post-credit,
yeah.
was essentially a long teaser / trailer yeah. for Multiverse of Madness. And it looks bonkers, especially in the fact that it looks like we're going to get the Dark Doctor Strange.
So do you suppose that means they're saying What If?
From What If.
Happened?
I feel like it did. I mean... I don't know. We'll see. What do you think about it, Tori? Does it seem like maybe that's the What If Doctor Strange to you?
I haven't done my homework.
You haven't seen What If?
I haven't.
Oh. Okay.
That's your assignment.
I know.
Doctor Strange, episode 4, you should check it out.
Yeah.
I say nothing else.
I mean, they're shortish. You know, you could sit down and watch them all in like 3 or 4 hours, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they're good. I think they're pulling it in, though. It seems like that. And we get Wanda... But also it seems like he's going in to like get help to fix what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. What is he fixing now? Like everything's fixed and put back seemingly. Maybe he's going to, I don't even know how to quantify or qualify what they're planning. Mm-hmm. Everybody swore Mephisto was finally going to be in this film, by the way. And look how Doctor Strange is looking all evil in Spider-Man. Yeah. It must be Mephisto. There is no such thing as Mephisto. I've said it. You heard it here first. Any other thoughts? I mean, there's so much more
that
happened.
There's going to be more that we want to talk about that we will think about after the fact.
Yeah.
And those conversations will happen in the MCU spoiler-filled thread on our Discord.
Yes.
So chat with us about it in the Discord.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure we've missed things. Tell us what you're thinking is going on. What did you think? I thought that, honestly, this was the perfect amount of fan service.
Like, mm-hmm. It was a lot of fan service.
It was a lot. Yeah. I didn't ever feel like it was unwarranted, in my opinion. I mean, this was 20 years of buildup.
Yeah.
And it worked for me so well. And I'm just like, I didn't realize how... I remember in a recent movie, I don't know if it was Endgame... I feel like it was a different one. We talked away and I just said I felt content
mm-hmm.
after it was over. I don't remember what movie that was, but I kind of felt that again, except for there was the lingering, oh God, he's by himself again. But
yeah.
like just the contentment of seeing the three Spider-Men together again. I was just like, oh, and I loved Jamie Foxx's. There's got to be a black Spider-Man.
Oh
somewhere.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah.
I don't know when we'll get Miles. I mean, let me finish my thought before you have thoughts about it. I hope they wait. Mm-hmm. So that we get more Spider-Man, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want him to have to be in the shadow of Peter Parker. And if we have more Tom Holland stories to tell, I want to do that. And I don't want it to just be shoehorned next to him. I want him to get his own stuff. So yeah. If that means waiting and being patient for it, then I'm okay with doing that. But mm-hmm. I hope we don't have to wait too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many good things. We're going to be ranking this alongside the rest of the MCU, and we'll get our final thoughts. I think I said this earlier, but every phase we'll try to do an episode, like a special segment on Two Man, to just see where the rankings are at mm-hmm. and discuss, because already I can tell there's going to be some surprising upsets, because when you have so many solid films, it's bound to happen. You know, eventually several of them will fall.
Yeah.
Anything else? What else happened in that movie? Lots of stuff.
I thought it was interesting, the Charlie Cox, or the Murdock.
Yeah, Matt Murdock.
Matt Murdock scene. I thought we were going to get a lot more out of that.
Yeah.
But then I realized they had to, for the sake of the movie, gloss over the whole legal issues.
Right.
That could have been the whole movie.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. It could. We absolutely could have had... have you guys seen The Lincoln Lawyer?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it could have been... You need to watch. It's really good. It Matthew McConaughey. We could have had, like, MCU Lincoln Lawyer with Charlie Cox trying to, like, do a little extra detective work on the side of his representation of Peter Parker, and maybe him coming to realization that he actually has... something in common with Peter Parker, but mm-hmm. It's so good. I don't know. We got to find out if the Netflix stuff is going to be canon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm curious to see if we see any comment or direct showcasing of the purple sky in the next Hawkeye episode.
Yeah, like if they. Speaking of the purple sky,
I need to rewatch the movie and pay attention to the things coming through. I'm curious how many Easter eggs there are in there of like. Villains and stuff, and heroes even that are from like Spider-Man's history.
Sure, yeah.
I didn't. There's a ton. I wasn't able to look close enough to notice. Yeah.
I just kind of sat there and let it happen to me.
Yeah,
the whole film. I was like, oh, I'm just gonna enjoy this. It's good, y'all. Spider-Man: No Way Home. Gut reaction: 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Incredible fan service and just MCU storytelling. If you like the MCU, it's impossible for you. I feel to not enjoy this. And mm-hmm. what's cool is they've got so many more stories to tell. They can just keep firing away, and it's going to be a long time before you run out of stuff, before they blow it all up. At least I hope anyway. So here's to many more Spider-Man films and much more on the MCU proper.
I mean, every single Spider-Man film is in the top 5 of my ranking so far.
Same.
So that says a lot.
And Spider-Man is not my favorite character. I like Spider-Man.
I feel like he is one of mine. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have those, like, all right, name your favorite.
Right.
For some reason, I mean, Spider-Man has always been one I've liked, and Thor. Like, right. Those are the two that I kind of have at the top of my Marvel list most of the time. But mm-hmm. I have a feeling it changes based on what I read, you know?
Sure. Right.
But yeah, Spider-Man.
Stuff. I mean, he's up there.
I always love Spider-Man movies.
So. Yeah. They're great. Any other thoughts? Go see Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, the only other movie I saw with comparable reactions from the audience was Medea Goes to Jail.
Okay.
And that was mostly just one lady next to me.
But right. But she filled up the auditorium.
Yeah.
I've never seen any of those movies. So.
It's good. I don't know. Just go see it. I can't stress enough. Like,
I want to go see it in Dolby Atmos next time.
The fact that we're telling you to go see it. If you listened this far
and you haven't seen
it, shame on you.
Or you just, whatever.
Find Doctor Strange and ask him to make you forget everything you know about Spider-Man mm-hmm. No Way Home. And then only remember that you need to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then go see it. Otherwise, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Like
I said, we will think of more things that we wish we had mentioned. And they will show up behind a spoiler tag on our Discord. So please, I know we say it all the time, but... We'd love for you to join us on Discord. Yep, let us know you're listening and tell us what you think.
Yep. We didn't do a social run, but it's all in the description. Follow us on social media. Leave likes and reviews and comments. And
if you search Two Man Comic Book Club, you will find a bunch of ways to find us.
Yeah.
Where can they find you, Alex?
At Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is WAYNE, just like Bruce Wayne,
mm-hmm.
because I am Batman.
That's right there.
That guy right there. That's me.
You can find me, all the ways to contact me, at drewmorrismusic.com. What about you?
If you Google Torrance Watkins, you'll find an equestrian rider that is an Olympic gold medalist.
Wow. That great. Nobody has ever seen them in the same room together. So
yep.
We'll go from there. That's been it. With great power comes great responsibility.
Oh, too soon.
Yeah. See y'all later.
Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.
I appreciated how poofy Aaron Drew Garfield's hair was in this movie. Oh.